eyeglasses, baby, I can see right through the ground. If you want to be a spy, then you must really see. And you must really see if you want to be a spy.
Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Melvin Goodman, who's a senior fellow at the Center for International Policy and a professor of government at Johns Hopkins University. His 42-year government career included service at the CIA, State Department, Defense Department, and the U.S. Army. In 1991, he was one of the three former CIA officials to testify before the Senate against the nomination of Robert Gates as Director of Central Intelligence on the grounds that he had slanted intelligence to suit policy. He's the author of Failure of Intelligence, The Decline and Fall of the CIA, and his forthcoming book is National Insecurity, The Cost of American Militarism. Welcome to Background Briefing, Melvin Goodman.
Thank you, Ian. Good to be with you.
And clearly we are going through something of a soap opera at the very highest levels of our national security establishment with the downfall of General Petraeus, the head of the CIA, and we don't know exactly how many more shoes are going to drop there. On the surface, a lot of this doesn't make any sense, the idea that a simple internet harassment case could be blown up into what it's become. Do you think there's anything more to this? I mean, I understand that the FBI agent that the woman down in Florida called is a bit of a zealot, and he called the Congress, he called Eric Cantor, the Republican House Whip, into the mix. So I guess that politicized it. But I don't know. I just feel like there's more to this story. What's your sense?
Well, my first reaction is there's a silver lining on this cloud, and that is that it gives President Obama another chance to get the CIA correct in terms of its stewardship. I thought it was a huge mistake to name David Petraeus as the director of CIA. I think it's wrong to put a four-star general or any general officer into the CIA, but particularly David Petraeus, because he had so many strong views on very sensitive policy issues dealing with Iraq, Afghanistan, and a variety of insurgent and terrorist matters. And when he arrived at the CIA, I'm told by my sources that he immediately tried to have some influence over the estimate that was being prepared on Afghanistan that was very important to the decision to continue taking troops out of Afghanistan. And I think he lost that battle, and I find it interesting that he lost that battle to his deputy, Mike Morrell, who is now the acting director of the CIA and could very well become the director of the CIA. But I think Obama's got to learn that the militarization of national security policy, which is something he started when he named a retired Marine general to the National Security Council as the key advisor on the National Security Council, and too many generals became ambassadors and too many generals have become intelligence czars, I think it's time for the civilian community to get back in control in terms of national security policy. So I hope on that level, I hope Obama does better with this appointment than he does with the Petraeus appointment. As far as what is national security in all this, I frankly think it started as FBI concern that here you had this person who had yet to be identified who had pretty good knowledge of the travel plans of the CIA director and the commanding general of coalition forces in Afghanistan. And my guess is when they found out who this person was, her identity, and the fact that she was having an affair with the director of CIA, I'm sure they gasped over what are you going to do with this kind of information. But once that FBI zealot, the ideologue, as you correctly describe him, he likes to think of himself as a whistleblower. He sounds to me as a very dangerous person who shouldn't be with the FBI in any capacity. But once he went to the Congress and ultimately to Eric Cantor, and Cantor went immediately to Mueller, I think they were stuck with this investigation and had to see it all the way through, and eventually it brings in General John Allen, who probably now will not get the position in NATO that he was going to be testifying for in confirmation hearings. So the situation is a mess. It has nothing to do with national security. I've seen a lot of editorials, particularly by the Washington Post, saying this is a real setback for the country. No, it's a setback for the Petraeus family. It has very little to do with the country and very little to do with national security. But I hope Obama does get it right this time around.
Well, I know it's at the risk of turning our conversation into tabloid journalism, Mel. I find this whole business down in Tampa, particularly this woman who is of Lebanese descent. Now, that's by no means making the implication that she's not an American. But the idea that this woman and her husband and the idea that these generals, both Petraeus and Allen, wrote letters to the judge about a nasty custody battle that this woman's twin sister was having, about which neither general obviously knew anything. And this woman had access to CENTCOM, was waved through, was throwing all these parties for them. These people were living high. They created a family charity, all of which they spent on themselves. She was made an honorary consulate by the South Koreans. They just seem like sort of hustlers in a way. And I would have thought that, when you're talking about the head of the CIA, these are the kind of people that in the intelligence world, they are the ones that get close to these people, isn't it? Isn't that like intelligence 101? You find the Achilles heel through the social life rather than the professional life of the target?
Well, to me, intelligence 101 should be that if you're conducting an affair, you should find a way to be discreet and keep this a private matter. So if this guy, David Petraeus, was supposed to be the chief spy in the United States, the spy master of the United States, he certainly did a very poor job of protecting his own secrets. I think these general officers all over the country are vulnerable to the kinds of groupies who follow these general officers around. I find nothing unusual about what this woman was doing. I've seen it in military bases in other places. And I think particularly someone like Petraeus, who is so concerned about his own personality and his own reputation and had this huge ego that had to be fed, got too close to a young woman who really had no background or no experience to be dealing with a biography of a four-star general who's become a military hero in this country. I think all of the people around Petraeus are shocked by the fact that he let her in so close into the inner sanctum. But now I find all these acolytes of Petraeus, these retired colonels and even retired generals, going on television to make it clear that this relationship, as in terms of the affair, started when he left the military and joined the CIA. You know, God forbid if Petraeus was actually having this affair as a four-star general and therefore would be guilty of the crime of adultery, which is a crime in the Uniform Code of Military Justice. So the whole thing is bizarre. It exposes, I think, some of the weak characters who become general officers in our military. We've expanded the military. There are far too many general officers. We throw great praise in their direction, this incredible adulation that we place before people like Petraeus and John Allen. When they testify in the Congress, they are rarely asked any probing questions or any difficult questions. And you could say that the generalship, in terms of the military, has not done very well in terms of our inability to deal effectively in Iraq or Afghanistan. These were civilian wars, but they were run by general officers, and I think we've had one general officer in Afghanistan for every year of the war. And we're still in an unwinnable situation. And then I think you had people like Petraeus and Allen using the think tank community to drag their heels on bringing troops out of Afghanistan. So, their exposure, I think, is important for the national security of the country to understand who these people are. They're not strategists. Civilians should be in charge of national security decision-making, and I think we're going to see more of that in Obama's second term.
Again, I'm speaking with Melvin Goodman, who is a senior fellow at the Center for International Policy and a professor of government at Johns Hopkins University. His 42-year government career included service at the CIA, the State Department, Defense Department, and the U.S. Army. He's the author of Failure of Intelligence, The Decline and Fall of the CIA, and his forthcoming book is National Insecurity, The Cost of American Militarism. Well, clearly Petraeus cultivated the press, and if some reason or other, liberals give him, except for that ad that MoveOn.org put out, General Petraeus. But, he had people like Max Boot living in his private quarters there in Kabul along with this woman. And as far as I can tell, the guy's basically owes his meteoric rise to a four-star to the neocons. He was ingratiating himself with Wolfowitz and the whole surge in Iraq. To me, is just it's a public relations operation largely to rescue Bush from his massive disaster. So I'm not sure that this guy. I mean, is he a neocon or a neocon light? Or what's your reading on him?
I don't think he's a neocon. I don't know if I would put any label on General Petraeus. I think he was someone who was given a mission in Afghanistan, a mission that the military never wanted. It was pushed on them by the civilian leaders in the country in the same way that Iraq was in 2003, and certainly Vietnam was in the 1960s and early 1970s. But once given that mission, they did their best to try to win this thing. But my problem with Petraeus is the politicization of the decision-making under Petraeus. He would bring over all sorts of think tank experts, people like Max Boot, who were far to the right, and make sure that these people would go out and then brief the various generals in Iraq, in Afghanistan. And in the case of Afghanistan, he was really dragging his heels on Obama's obvious decision to get these troops, and particularly the surge troops from 2009, out of Afghanistan. And I consider this political insubordination. And he should have been called to account for this. But instead, he was moved into the CIA, not a position that he wanted. He wanted to be chairman of the Joint Chiefs. And finally, it was Bob Gates, the Secretary of Defense, who had to tell Petraeus, you're just not going to get that position. So I think he reluctantly accepted the CIA position, for which he really wasn't qualified anyway. He's no expert in strategic intelligence. He hasn't done the kind of writing that would suggest he's thought about strategic issues in any meaningful way. He was rarely tested on this when he testified on the Hill, where he was treated with kid gloves, and that was true for the right and the left in this country. The MoveOn.org thing was way over the top, and I think, if anything, it enhanced Petraeus' credibility because it was so over the top.
Well, but it does feel like, just as what happened when an inexperienced young president, Jack Kennedy, came into office, he got snowed by the already planned Bay of Pigs operation, and he quickly learned after that. And my impression is that this young president, inexperienced president, when he came in, and after all, to some extent, Obama dug the hole for himself in the campaign. He argued that we took our eye off the ball in Iraq and that we really had to fix Afghanistan, which maybe it's not fixable. But having dug the hole, it seemed like he was very reluctant about this Petraeus surge, and it looks like Petraeus rolled him on that.
Oh, and I think Obama thought he was rolled by the military. And I think what was interesting to me when he made the decision to enforce the timetable, exactly as he laid it out when he made that speech at West Point in December of 2009, he didn't call in the military. The military was not part of that decision-making for getting those 33,000 troops out of Afghanistan. You mentioned John Kennedy, and when you look at Barack Obama, I'm reminded of something Eisenhower said in his last month in the White House when he was sitting around with his advisors and said, God help this country when there are presidents sitting in this chair who don't have the experience of dealing with the military and don't know how to talk to the military. And you mentioned Kennedy. That was clearly a case in point. And when you look at Barack Obama, he catered far too much to the military, and it suggested to me that he was intimidated by the military. But I don't think he has that intimidation anymore. So what he really has to do is get a person into the CIA who can be a real steward for strategic intelligence, and frankly, he needs a tougher-minded person in the Pentagon. Lee Panetta was much too lazy for the position at CIA, and I think he's clearly wants to get back to California and wants to get out of the Pentagon as soon as possible. So I think a tough-minded person who is serious about military reform is what is needed at the Pentagon at this time. But I think Barack Obama has learned a lot in the last few years, and I don't think he's going to be rolled by the military again.
So who would your candidates be, Mel, for both the CIA and DOD?
Well, for CIA, a former career ambassador, Thomas Pickering, who's conducting the investigation over Benghazi, which was a huge intelligence failure in my estimation, would be someone who I think could lead the CIA. And I think someone like Larry Korb, who's actually served in the Reagan administration as an assistant secretary of defense in the 1980s, would be the kind of person who's thought about reform and changing the military. It looks like John Kerry is going to be dragooned in this position, where I think the better fit for him would be at the State Department. But I would like to see better people than what Obama did the first time around when Bob Gates was retained as a Secretary of Defense, where Leon Panetta was put in at CIA, a retired general, Marine General, with James Jones was made the National Security Advisor. And frankly, I wasn't a big fan of the appointment of Hillary Clinton. And I've seen nothing in the 4 years that suggested this was a very good move for American foreign policy or national security policy. So I hope some hard thinking goes into this, and he doesn't make the decisions as he made them in 2008, which were clearly made for domestic politics, particularly Clinton at State and Gates at Defense. So it will be a real test of what Obama has learned over the past 4 years.
Well, Mel Goodman, I thank you so much for joining us here today.
Thank you, Ian. Always good to be with you.
Likewise. Again, I've been speaking with Melvin Goodman, who is a senior fellow at the Center for International Policy and a professor of government at Johns Hopkins University. His 42-year government career included service at the CIA, State Department, Defense Department, and the U.S. Army. In 1991, he was one of three former CIA officials to testify before the Senate against the nomination of Robert Gates as Director of Central Intelligence on the grounds that he had slanted intelligence to suit policy. He's the author of Failure of Intelligence, The Decline and Fall of the CIA, and his forthcoming book is National Insecurity, The Cost of American Militarism. We're going to take a brief station break and we'll be back analyzing our broken electoral system.